Foreign trade transactions are the backbone of global commerce, connecting economies and fostering international cooperation. In this lesson, we'll delve into the essentials of currency convertibility, trade finance, and the role of international banking systems. By understanding tools like letters of credit, SWIFT, and IBAN, you'll gain insights into how secure and efficient global transactions are facilitated. Additionally, we'll explore rupee-denominated trade and strategies to mitigate risks in international dealings. This knowledge is key to navigating the complexities of the global financial network with confidence. Understanding the key aspects of trade finance and international banking is essential for navigating the complexities of global trade. Through this session, you will gain insights into the mechanisms that ensure financial stability, mitigate risks, and facilitate seamless cross-border transactions. By the end, you will be equipped with the knowledge to analyze financial instruments, evaluate their effectiveness, and explore the role of global institutions in shaping international trade. Let's dive into these critical concepts together. India's foreign currency convertibility operates under a managed float system, where the exchange rate is primarily market-driven, but influenced by the Reserve Bank of India to maintain stability. The RBI's interventions aim to reduce volatility rather than fix the rupee to a specific foreign currency. Regulations also play a role, with restrictions on the import and export of rupees and specific rules for currency denominations in neighboring countries. Exchange rates are determined in the foreign exchange market, with mechanisms like spot and forward rates catering to immediate and future transactions. This system is crucial for international trade, as it allows businesses to manage cross-border payments and mitigate risks associated with currency fluctuations. Foreign currency transactions come with inherent risks, such as fluctuations in exchange rates that can reduce the value of payments or receivables. Exporters also face challenges like delayed payments or defaults, often caused by political instability or economic crises in the importing country. Additionally, events like wars or sanctions can block payments entirely, adding to the uncertainty. To address these challenges, the Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India, or ECGC, provides export credit insurance. This insurance covers both political and commercial risks, enabling exporters to expand their business without fear of financial loss. ECGC also offers customized insurance products to ensure Indian exporters remain competitive in the global market. Trade finance plays a crucial role in facilitating international trade by providing financial instruments and products that make transactions smoother for both importers and exporters. It is broadly classified into pre-shipment finance, which supports exporters before goods are shipped, and post-shipment finance, which provides assistance after shipment. Key financial instruments like letters of credit, factoring, export credit, and insurance are designed to mitigate risks and ensure smooth trade transactions. The function of trade finance is to introduce third-party involvement, reducing payment and supply risks while building trust between trading parties. Additionally, it helps mitigate risks such as non-payment, currency fluctuations, and political instability, making global trade more secure and efficient. Trade finance serves as a vital mechanism in international trade by introducing a third party to transactions, which helps mitigate payment and supply risks. It ensures that exporters receive their payments and importers can fulfill their trade orders securely. Various parties, including banks, trade finance companies, and insurers, collaborate to facilitate these transactions. Unlike conventional financing, trade finance focuses on addressing risks unique to international trade, such as currency fluctuations and political instability, rather than just liquidity issues. This system builds confidence among exporters and importers, enabling them to engage in global trade with greater security and assurance. Trade finance involves various financial instruments that make international trade feasible and secure. Lending lines of credit help businesses manage cash flow by providing necessary funds for transactions. Letters of credit act as a guarantee, ensuring sellers receive payment once they meet the agreed terms, reducing risks for both parties. Factoring allows companies to sell their receivables for immediate cash, improving liquidity. Export credit or working capital supports exporters in covering operational costs and fulfilling orders. Lastly, insurance mitigates risks like non-payment and shipping issues, ensuring smoother trade operations. Together, these tools play a vital role in reducing risks and enabling global commerce. Trade finance plays a crucial role in reducing risks for both exporters and importers. It addresses the risk of non-payment by involving the importer's bank, which guarantees payment once shipment proof is provided. Exporters are required to present documents like a bill of lading, ensuring that goods are shipped as agreed. This system builds trust between trading parties, making international transactions more reliable. Additionally, trade finance offers customizable solutions, combining various financial products to meet specific needs. By mitigating risks and ensuring smooth operations, it helps businesses enhance efficiency and boost revenue. The flow of transactions in a letter of credit begins with a sale contract between the importer and exporter, specifying payment via documentary credit. The importer then applies for a letter of credit from their bank, which evaluates their creditworthiness before issuing the credit in favor of the exporter. The issuing bank collaborates with a bank in the exporter's country to advise and confirm the credit. Once the exporter receives the letter of credit, they dispatch the goods and present the required shipment documents to their bank. The bank verifies these documents for compliance and processes payment if all terms are met. Finally, the importer's bank releases the shipping documents to the importer, enabling the clearance and delivery of goods. This structured process ensures secure and efficient international trade transactions. Letters of credit are essential tools in international trade, offering security and reliability for both buyers and sellers. The commercial or documentary letter of credit is the most common type, ensuring payment upon the presentation of required documents. Standby letters of credit act as a safety net, guaranteeing payment if the buyer defaults. Secured letters of credit provide additional assurance through collateral, while revocable letters of credit, though rare, allow for modifications without the seller's consent. Irrevocable letters of credit are widely preferred for their reliability, as they cannot be altered without mutual agreement. Revolving letters of credit simplify ongoing trade relationships by covering multiple transactions under one agreement. Red clause letters of credit provide exporters with advance payments, while green clause letters extend this to include storage and insurance costs. Each type serves a specific purpose, tailored to the needs of international trade. An irrevocable letter of credit at sight is a financial tool that provides security in international trade. It cannot be modified or cancelled without the agreement of all parties, ensuring trust and reliability. Payment is made to the seller immediately upon meeting the conditions, such as providing proof of shipment. Essential documents like the bill of lading must be submitted to the bank to release the payment. This arrangement protects both the buyer and seller, as payment is only released once the goods are verified. Unlike upfront payments, at-sight transactions rely on documentation, which can cause delays but ensures accountability and trust in the transaction. A fully funded documentary letter of credit, or FFDLC, is a secure financial tool used in international trade. It ensures that the seller is paid by holding the buyer's funds in a separate escrow account. Key features include the use of escrow accounts, buyer contributions, and third-party involvement to manage transactions. The buyer must initiate the transaction upon receiving goods and required documentation, such as a customs stamped bill of lading. For sellers, FFDLC provides assurance of payment and reduces the risk of non-payment. Buyers, on the other hand, benefit from a structured payment mechanism that safeguards their interests while ensuring compliance with trade terms. This makes FFDLC a vital instrument for mitigating risks and facilitating smooth international trade. Funded and unfunded letters of credit serve different purposes in international trade, and their distinctions are crucial for both buyers and sellers. A funded letter of credit is backed by actual funds held in a separate account, providing immediate assurance to the seller. In contrast, an unfunded letter of credit relies on the bank's promise to pay, which introduces a higher level of risk for the seller. Interest on a funded letter of credit begins as soon as the funds are placed in the account, whereas for an unfunded letter, interest only starts when the funds are drawn. This difference in financial backing and interest accrual significantly impacts the security and risk levels for all parties involved. Understanding these differences helps businesses choose the most suitable option for their trade transactions. The International Bank Account Number, or IBAN, is a globally recognized system designed to simplify and secure cross-border transactions. It consists of up to 34 alphanumeric characters, including a country code, check digits, and a domestic account number, ensuring accurate identification of bank accounts. The check digits play a crucial role in validating the account number's integrity before processing, significantly reducing errors. Originally developed in Europe, IBAN is now an international standard under ISO 13616, 2007, with SWIFT as its registrar. By standardizing account identification, IBAN has minimized transcription errors and improved the efficiency of global financial transactions, with error rates dropping to less than 0.1%. The Basic Bank Account Number, or BBAN, is a crucial identifier used within countries to ensure payments are routed accurately. Each country's central bank or payment authority defines the BBAN format, which can include the domestic account number, branch identifier, and routing details, with a maximum of 30 alphanumeric characters. Unlike IBAN, BBAN does not require a standardized length across countries, but it must be fixed within a country. SWIFT serves as a registration authority for BBAN formats, though registration is optional, and countries may adopt IBAN without registering their BBAN. BBAN plays a vital role in the banking infrastructure, supporting both domestic and international transactions by ensuring efficient and accurate payment routing. The Single Euro Payments Area, or SEPA, is a transformative initiative by the European Union to streamline euro-denominated bank transfers across Europe. Its primary goal is to make cross-border payments as simple and cost-effective as domestic ones, fostering economic integration and trade. The European Parliament played a key role by mandating equal charges for domestic and cross-border transfers, initially covering payments up to 12,500 euros and later increasing this cap to 50,000 euros. SEPA's implementation milestones include mandatory credit transfers in 2008 and direct debits in 2009, ensuring widespread adoption. Additionally, the European Central Bank's DRGT2 network supports this initiative by unifying the technical infrastructure of 26 central banks, enabling seamless interbank transactions. Overall, SEPA has significantly enhanced the efficiency and accessibility of euro payments across Europe. In non-European countries, the adoption of IBAN varies significantly. Many regions, such as the Middle East, North Africa, and the Caribbean, have implemented IBAN for account identification, while others, like Ukraine, use it informally for international transfers. Validation of IBANs depends on the transmitting bank's software, and some banks outside Europe may not verify IBAN accuracy before processing transactions. In the United States, IBAN is not used for domestic accounts, though a working group is exploring its potential adoption. Similarly, Canada relies on routing numbers and SWIFT for transfers, with no regulatory push for IBAN. Australia and New Zealand also use alternative systems like bank state branch codes for domestic transfers and SWIFT for international ones. SWIFT, or the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication, is a global network that facilitates secure communication between financial institutions. Established in 1973 in Brussels, it now connects over 11,000 institutions across more than 200 countries. SWIFT uses standardized codes, known as SWIFT or BIC codes, to ensure accuracy and reliability in international transactions. While it does not hold funds or manage accounts, it serves as a secure messaging system for payment instructions. Despite its critical role in global finance, SWIFT has faced security challenges, prompting the organization to enhance its protocols to maintain trust and reliability. SWIFT, or the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication, is a global network that facilitates secure communication between financial institutions for international transactions. Each institution is assigned a unique SWIFT code, which identifies the bank, country, and location. For example, an accredited banker in Milan has the code UNCRETON, where UNCR represents the bank, the country, and the city. When a customer wants to send money internationally, they provide the recipient's account number and SWIFT code. The sender's bank then sends a secure payment order through the SWIFT network to the recipient's bank, which credits the funds to the recipient's account. Importantly, SWIFT itself does not hold funds on managed accounts. It simply acts as a secure messaging system for payment orders, relying on correspondent banking relationships for settlement. SWIFT codes and IBANs serve distinct but complementary roles in international money transfers. A SWIFT code identifies a specific bank, ensuring that the transaction reaches the correct financial institution. It consists of 8 to 11 characters, including a bank identifier, country code, and location code. On the other hand, an IBAN identifies a specific bank account, making sure the payment is routed accurately to the intended recipient. The IBAN can be up to 34 characters long and includes a country code, check digits, and the domestic account number. Unlike SWIFT codes, IBANs have built-in check digits to minimize errors. Together, these systems ensure secure and efficient global financial transactions. SWIFT operates a secure messaging network through three main data centers located in the United States, the Netherlands, and Switzerland. These centers work together to share information in near real time, ensuring seamless and efficient communication. In 2009, a fourth data center was established in Switzerland, which introduced a new data storage practice for European members. The messaging system is divided into two zones, European and transatlantic, with data stored accordingly to enhance security and efficiency. Additionally, the system is designed to handle failures in any data center, ensuring continuity and reliability in financial messaging. SWIFT is a cornerstone of global financial communication, offering a secure network for transmitting messages between financial institutions. It ensures that sensitive financial information is exchanged reliably and securely. Additionally, SWIFT has developed standardized syntax for financial messages, which promotes consistency and reduces errors in communication. The network also provides essential software and services, such as linkage clients and computer-based terminals, to facilitate connectivity and manage message flows. By integrating these functionalities, SWIFT enables efficient, secure, and error-free international financial transactions, making it indispensable in the global financial ecosystem. SWIFT messaging services are essential for secure and efficient financial communication. SWIFTREF acts as a global payment reference data utility, sourcing and validating data from central banks and other originators to ensure accuracy. On the other hand, SWIFTNET Mail provides a secure platform for transferring sensitive business documents, replacing outdated methods like telex and courier services. These services significantly enhance the security and reliability of financial transactions, reducing risks associated with errors and unauthorized access. Notably, SwiftNet Mail was successfully piloted by major financial institutions, proving its effectiveness in real-world applications. Together, these innovations uphold the integrity of international financial systems. UN's sanctions have had a profound impact on SWIFT, the global financial messaging network. For instance, Iranian banks were disconnected from SWIFT as part of international sanctions, though some were reconnected in 2016. However, US sanctions still restrict transactions involving US banks or US dollars with Iran. Similarly, in 2014, the UK proposed blocking Russian access to SWIFT due to its actions in Ukraine, but SWIFT declined, emphasizing its neutral role. In response, Russia developed SPFS, a SWIFT alternative, to ensure financial continuity. The EU also proposed a special financial vehicle to bypass SWIFT and US sanctions, involving countries like Iran and China. These developments highlight how sanctions have spurred the creation of alternative systems, reshaping global financial networks. The SWIFT network, a cornerstone of global financial transactions, has faced significant security challenges. In 2016, the Bangladesh bank heist saw hackers steal $81 million by exploiting SWIFT's Alliance Access software, using malware to issue unauthorized messages and conceal their tracks. Similarly, Banco del Austro in Ecuador lost $12 million when thieves used legitimate SWIFT credentials to send fraudulent messages. Other banks, including those in Vietnam and Ukraine, also fell victim to similar attacks. These incidents reveal systemic vulnerabilities in SWIFT's security protocols, raising concerns about the integrity of financial transactions. To address these challenges, the financial sector has emphasized the need for stronger authentication, real-time monitoring, and advanced anomaly detection systems to safeguard against cyber threats. The Legal Entity Identifier, or LEI, is a unique global reference number designed to identify legal entities involved in financial transactions. It is governed by the Global Legal Entity Identifier Foundation, which ensures standardization and transparency. LEIs are issued by local operating units, which validate entity data through public resources. These identifiers are essential for entities like banks, mutual funds, and trusts, providing proof of identity and aiding in regulatory compliance. In India, the Reserve Bank of India has mandated that borrowers with an exposure of 5 crore rupees or more must obtain a LEI code, with non-compliance leading to restrictions on credit facilities. This system enhances accountability and streamlines financial reporting. The Asian Clearing Union, or ACU, was founded in 1974 to promote regional cooperation in monetary transactions. Headquartered in Tehran, Iran, it includes 9 member countries such as India, Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka. The ACU uses a common unit of account, equivalent to $1, to settle eligible transactions like international trade payments. However, certain payments, such as those between Nepal and India, are excluded unless specific exceptions apply. In 2013, Iran introduced the CPAM system to bypass SWIFT, further strengthening the ACU's role in regional trade. This initiative highlights the ACU's commitment to simplifying trade and reducing dependency on hard currencies. The Asian Clearing Union facilitates multilateral settlements among its member countries using a common unit of account, the ACU dollar, equivalent to $1. Eligible transactions include payments between residents of member countries, payments for current international transactions as defined by the IMF, and those permitted under local regulations like FEMA 1999. Additionally, export and import transactions can be settled on deferred payment terms, providing flexibility for trade. However, certain payments, such as those between Nepal and India or Bhutan and India, and non-current international transactions, are excluded. The primary objective of this mechanism is to enhance regional cooperation, simplify financial transactions, and promote economic integration among its members. The New Development Bank, or NDB, was established in 2014 by the BRICS nations to address the infrastructure and development needs of emerging economies. With an authorized capital of $100 billion, it aims to provide an egalitarian banking structure where all members have equal voting rights. One of its key innovations is lending in local currencies, which helps protect borrowing nations from currency volatility. However, the NDB faces significant challenges, including geopolitical tensions among BRICS members, transparency concerns, and criticism of China's influence due to its Shanghai headquarters. Despite these hurdles, the NDB has the potential to transform global financial governance by offering alternatives to Western-dominated systems and promoting trade in local currencies. India is taking a bold step to internationalize its currency by promoting rupee-denominated trade. The Reserve Bank of India has introduced Vostro accounts, enabling countries like Russia, Germany, and the UK to trade in rupees. Currently, only 2% of India's trade is in rupees, but the goal is to increase this to 12 to 20% by 2027. This shift offers multiple benefits, such as reducing pressure on foreign exchange reserves, bypassing the dollar, and fostering independent trade policies. The move is also a response to global disruptions like the pandemic and geopolitical conflicts, aiming to stabilize the rupee and reduce costs for developing nations. With countries like Nepal and Bhutan already trading in rupees, this initiative could significantly enhance India's economic influence globally. In this lesson, we explored the intricate world of foreign trade transactions. We began by understanding the importance of foreign currency convertibility and the associated risks and mitigation strategies. The role of trade finance and its financial instruments, including various types of letters of credit, was thoroughly examined. We delved into international banking systems, focusing on IBAN and SWIFT, their functionalities, and their impact on global trade. Lastly, we discussed regional and emerging trade mechanisms like the Asian Clearing Union, the New Development Bank, and rupee-denominated trade.